Friends and listeners, and welcome to this program of the R.G. Hardy Ministries as we come your way proclaiming, souls are crying and men are dying. Won't you help us to win the lost? This is Sister Sharon Knotts, and on today's program, I will be ministering a special message entitled, Nail It to the Cross. Now, normally my dad, Brother Hardy, would be preaching, but he wants me to share with you this powerful truth that the cross is greater than the curse. This revelation totally revolutionized my own life, and I know it will yours too. Your eyes will be open to see that everything that is part of the curse, Jesus has nailed to his cross. Stay tuned, because at the end of the program, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of this message, Nail It to the Cross.
And the Bible said, as I just read, that all the days of Joshua, 110 years, and all of his peers and contemporaries that were in his time, they served the Lord, they obeyed God, they kept the promise, but something happened after that generation died off. When the last one who overlived the generation of Joshua died off, the people began to turn away from the Lord. And the next book of the Bible is called the Book of Judges. The Book of Judges is one of the saddest books in the whole Bible. It is one of the most perverse books out of all the 66 books, because it began a 350-year cycle when the people rebelled against God, and the Bible says every man did what was right in his own sight. Now, why is it dangerous for every one of us to do what's right in our own sight if we're not born again and have the Spirit of Christ? Because in sin were we shaped in iniquity, and our heart is going to be bent towards sin. Didn't we already see that? We inherit the nature of Adam. So if everybody begins to do what's right to them, then they're going to do what Adam did. They're going to do what Cain did. They're going to murder their brother. How many say amen? They're going to do what Adam did. They're going to lie. And the book of Judges, some of the most perverse things you could ever read, that they took place in the book of Judges. And it only got worse after that. God raised up kings and gave them prophets and leaders. But you would have, if you read about all the kings, those who did right in the sight of the Lord and those who did evil in the sight of the Lord, it's totally out of balance. Because with every generation, iniquity increases. Until we come down, and I want you to see this, I want you to go to the very last book of the Old Testament. Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament. And we're getting ready to go over the bridge now to the good stuff. But I want you to see Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. The last verse of the last chapter of the last book of the last prophet of the Old Testament. And what does it say? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a... with a what?
Curse.
A curse. Imagine this. The last word of the last chapter of the last book of the last prophet of the Old Testament is curse. And God did not speak again for 400 years. For 400 years, that word hung over them like a black cloud of suffering and despair and dismay. He said, a curse. If I don't send someone to turn your heart around, I will smite the earth with a curse. And for 400 years, there were no prophets coming. No one came. No one came to say, thus saith the Lord. There was no one raised up to bring the people back to God. And by the time that we get to the New Testament, they were slaves again. They who had come out of Egypt with a mighty hand, now they're servants and slaves to Rome. And they are full of poverty and they're full of sickness. My God, these people of God have got leprosy colonies where people are going to die. They've got people that are so filled with demons, so demon-possessed that they're running through the tombs and the graveyards, screaming naked and shouting like a banshee, cutting themselves with stones. Does this sound like something we read about curses? That's the condition that it was. How many say amen? That was the condition that we come into the New Testament. But he said, I will send someone to turn the hearts of the fathers, to turn the hearts around. And oh, now we're in for the good news. Somebody say, we're in for the good news. All I've told you about so far is curses. The last word in the Old Testament, curse. How many know I don't want that to be the last word on my will, do you? I don't want that to be the last word on my life's account, do you? But oh, there's good news in Galatians 3:13. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Christ hath redeemed us from the what? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad to know that Jesus came to redeem us from the curse. And you remember I said in the beginning, we always like to ask those questions, who, how, when, where, why. Oh, we need to ask them now that we're in the New Testament. Who was able to redeem us from the curse? It couldn't be a son of Adam because he was under the curse. It couldn't be anybody of this world because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is born in sin. I can't save you and you can't save me. It was going to take someone who was perfect, who was sinless, who was pure, who was righteous, who was holy. Hallelujah. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he that believeth on the Lord is not condemned, but he that believeth not on him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Whosoever doeth evil will not come to the light. He hateth the light and will not come to it, lest his deeds should be reproved or manifest. But everybody that does the truth comes to the light, that he might show that his deeds are done in truth. Hallelujah. So the question is, who? And the answer is Christ. Hallelujah. Christ hath redeemed us. How did he do it? Becoming a curse for us. In order to redeem us from the curse, he had to become a curse. How many see that? If he was going to set us free from the curse, because the curse had a penalty. What was the penalty? The penalty was death, separation from God eternally. In order to break that, he had to take the penalty on himself. He became the cause. He became the curse. And he took the penalty. How many see that? So he became a curse for us, because as it is written, where is it written? Where is it written? You have to go back to Deuteronomy in the same book where we read all the curses. You would find, if you would go to Deuteronomy 21:23, it says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Jesus couldn't die anywhere else but on the tree. It had to be on the tree. When they tried to stone him, he disappeared. He couldn't die that way. When they tried to throw him over the hillside down the cliff, he disappeared, because he couldn't die that way. He wasn't afraid to die. He came to die, but he had to die on the cross. He had to become a curse for us. Some people, they don't like to talk about the cross. Some people don't like to, you know, when they went to the Passion, it upset them. It really got to them. Well, I want you to know that that's what Jesus did. That's what he suffered. He had to become a curse for us by going to the tree. So Christ became a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is he who hangeth on the tree. When? When did he do that? In April, the year 33 AD, Jesus died on Calvary. And he became a curse for us. And he took upon himself our sins and our iniquities. How many say amen? And it was humiliating beyond anything you could ever imagine. Think of the most humiliating predicament you could be in. To be stripped stark naked in front of everybody outside? That'd be pretty humiliating. Jesus was naked on the cross. I mean, I know they don't show that on the pictures, but he was naked. How many say amen? He was beaten. The Bible says his face was so marred, it was not even recognizable as human. That's how his face was marred. That's why the passion was not over the top. It sits right in there with in the scriptures. How many say amen? And I know that I've heard people say that saw the passion. They said, well, I got to tell you what I think. That was so cruel, so gruesome. They beat him and beat him and beat him that I do not believe it could be humanly possible for him to have survived that beating in order to get up on the cross. I just don't believe that. I think it was exaggerated and over the top. How many have heard people say that or have thought of that? But you see, the penalty for sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. But Jesus was pure. Jesus was sinless. Jesus was righteous. Even his enemies, Jesus, when they were accusing him and they were trying to kill him, Jesus said, which of you convinced me of sin? That was their opportunity. If they could convince it, they could say, aha, you did this, you did that. You slept with Mary Magdalene. You were committed this, you committed that. That was their chance to bring the evidence. He said it publicly. Which of you can convince me of sin? Bring on the evidence. You got to have a cause. How many say amen? You got to have a cause. When you go before the judge, they got to present the evidence. Nobody spoke up anything. Because Jesus was pure and he was sinless. How many say amen? And so it wasn't until he hung on the cross that he took upon himself the sins of the world. He took your sin and my sin. On the cross, he took our sin. And on the cross, then having become sin offering for us, death could come and take him. How many see it?
Amen. Friends, I trust that you are being blessed by this devil-chasing message, Nail It to the Cross. I am so excited to share this truth with you because this revelation was the catalyst for deliverance and victory in my own life, and I continue to walk in it every day. And it boils down to this, the cross is greater than the curse. When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought curses not only upon themselves, but upon all their posterity. The Bible says, the curse causeless shall not come. The cause is sin, and we were all born in sin, and we're all under the curse. Now, if you can remove the cause, you will break the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, but Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is he that hangs on a tree. Jesus had to hang on the cross, and there he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's the written evidence, the cause that proved our guilt and brought the curse. And he nailed it to his cross. Then he publicly spoiled and legally stripped Satan of any right to bring it on us again. Now it is up to you and to me to see every sin, sickness, disease, fear, torment, depression, addiction, and all demonic oppression nailed to the cross in Jesus' name. You have to get this message, not because I preached it, but because it is the truth that the devil hopes you never get in your spirit. The complete message is available on CD or cassette tape for your love gift of $10 or more. Ask for offer SK120 and specify if you want CD or tape. Send to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or go online to rghardy.org.